This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, during this غزوة الرقاق, there was an interesting conversation that is reported, which happened between Rasulullah ﷺ and one of his companions, one of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, whose name was Jabir bin Abdullah, radiallahu anhu. Jabir was a poor man, and he was riding a camel which was very weak, and so it kept lagging behind. Rasulullah ﷺ went up to him and he asked him, what is the matter? The man said, Ya Rasulullah, this camel is weak. Nabi Sallallahu said, make it kneel. And then Rasulullah made his own camel kneel. He got off and said to Jabir, give me your stick and you get another stick. So Jabir gave him the stick of Rasulullah, gave his stick to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prodded the camel with Jabir's stick, radiallahu anhu, and said to Jabir, radiallahu anhu, now mount up. Jabir, radiallahu anhu, mounted up, and suddenly his camel became strong and went right ahead and was competing with Rasulullah's camel, which was very fast. Then Rasulullah see how well he knew his Sahaba, his companions, and how concerned he was about the welfare of each and every one of them. So he knew that this man was a poor man. He also knew that he was a man with enormous self-respect, so he couldn't just go and give him some money and say, here's some money, he wouldn't take it. So he said to him, will you sell me your camel? Jabir radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, you want it, I will gladly gift it to you. I'll give it to you as a present. I will be honored. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, I want to buy it. So Jabir radiallahu anhu said, so now this became like a game. So Jabir radiallahu anhu said, okay, so give me an offer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 1 dirham. So Jabir radiallahu anhu said, no way, Ya Rasulullah, no way, you'll be cheating me. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, I'll give you 2 dirham. And Jabir radiallahu anhu said, more, raise the price. And so this happened. So this is like a game happening between the two of them. See the beautiful relationship that he had with his Sahaba. Until they reached 1 ounce of gold. So Rasulullah said, I'll give you 1 ounce of gold. Is that enough? So Jabir radiallahu anhu said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, that is enough and the camel is yours. Then Rasulullah said to him, are you married yet? And Jabir said, radiallahu anhu, yes, I am, Ya Rasulullah. Nabi said, you married a woman who was married before, or to somebody who was not married before, to a virgin? So Jabir radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I married a woman who was married before. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why didn't you marry a young girl who could play with you and you could play with her, and you know, it companionship? Jabir radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, my father was killed in Badr and he left 7 daughters. So he said, I have 7 sisters. So I married a mature woman who could bring them up properly. Rasulullah said, Alhamdulillah, you did well, and let's hope that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, when we get to Sirar, we will slaughter a camel, and your wife will hear about that, and she will dust off the cushions and so on, and prepare for your arrival. You know, she will do up the house and all that. Jabir bin Abdullah, he laughed. He said, Ya Rasulullah, we don't have cushions. We are poor people, we have nothing of that kind. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Inshallah, you will have some. When they reached Medina, Rasulullah came out of his house and he saw a camel tethered outside. He asked people whose camel it was. They said Jabir radiallahu anhu left it there. So he sent someone to call Jabir and he said to him, "My brother, my cousin, take your camel, it is yours." Then he called Bilal radiallahu anhu and told him to give Jabir radiallahu anhu 1 ounce of gold. Jabir radiallahu anhu came back, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, Bilal gave me 1 ounce and some more, and our financial conditions started to improve and continued to improve from then onwards until the present, until the present time." Rasulullah says, the Jabir radiallahu anhu, later on, he mentioned this and he said that Bilal gave me 1 ounce radiallahu anhu, 1 ounce of gold and some more, and our financial condition started to improve from then on and continued to improve until the present catastrophe. The catastrophe he is talking about was the Yawmul Harra, which happened in the Khilafah Umayyah, when Medina was attacked by Muslims and many Sahaba had been killed, and this happened in the time of the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab, of the end of the Khilafah of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, when he was also Shaheed. There is a second thing called Badr al-Maw'id. Maw'id means meeting, so the appointed Badr. The Muslims obviously won at Badr and the Quraysh won at Uhud. So they decided to meet the following year. Abu Sufyan left Makkah with about 2,000 men. But after some time he said, "O men of Quraysh, it is appropriate for you to indulge in such an expedition in a good year when you drink milk. This is a barren year and so I am returning and I suggest you do the same." So they all returned to Makkah. Now there's an interesting thing here. They took with them, rations. So basically it was, they used to dry dates and make them into a kind of porridge kind of meal, dry. And then they would put water in that and eat it, or milk in it and eat it. So they had taken this ration, they ate a lot of that, or all of it, before they returned to Makkah. So the people of Makkah, they used to laugh at them and say that you are the equivalent of a protein bar army. You just went and ate some food and came back and you call this a military expedition. So they returned to Makkah. Now Rasulullah ﷺ came to the appointed place but did not find anyone. So they stayed there for some days and then they left, and while he was there, he met Makhshi al-Amir al-Damri of the tribe of Banu Damra, who had an alliance with him. Makhshi said, "Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have come to meet the Quraysh." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yes, my brother from Banu Damra, but if you want, we will release you from your agreement with us and we will fight you until Allah decides between us." And the man said, "Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no need for that, and it is, I'm not interested in fighting with you." And this shows also the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who always liked to negotiate from a position of strength. And that is the key thing in negotiation, that you, when you have leverage, is when you can negotiate. And when you are negotiating, the question to ask yourself is, what do I bring to the table? What is it that I have which is of value to the opposite party, for which they are or they could be willing to make some allowances for me to get what I want? So that is the key thing in any negotiation. We now come to one of the most important, one of the most sensitive, one of the most critical incidents of the seerah, which was a huge test for the Muslims and continues to be a test to this day. And that was the incident of Sayyida Ummuna Aisha, or Mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now we hear This is what says Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha herself has to say. This is a translation of her own narrative. She narrated, she said that Rasulullah would draw lots to decide who would go with him from among his wives on any expedition. He would always take one of his wives and between them he would decide. On this occasion, it was my name that was picked. We used to eat little and so weighed very little. I would sit in my howdah on top of the camel while the camel was being saddled. And when it was done, the men would put it on the camel's back. So she would get into the howdah while the howdah was on the ground. And the men would just pick it up and put it on the camel's back. She weighed very little, so it was no stress and no strain for the people. And it was easier for her to sit in the howdah while it was on the ground rather than trying to climb into it when it was on the back of the camel. So then she continued, she said, on the way back, Rasulullah ﷺ made a halt near Medina for a part of the night. At the end of that, the crier called to the people to get ready to depart. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha said, I went to relieve myself. I was wearing a necklace of onyx beads from a ghafar. When I finished, I realized that it had fallen from my neck, so I went looking for it. Eventually, I found it. The man who was saddling my camel must have come to my howdah and lifted it and fastened it on the camel, and they didn't even realize that it was empty. Since I was so light, they didn't realize that I was not inside it. When I returned to the campsite, there was nobody there because they had all left. I wrapped myself in my cloak and I lay down, sure that when they realized that I was not with them, they would return for me. But that didn't happen. They never realized. Safwan bin Mu'attal al-Sunami, radiallahu anhu, he came by. He got left behind by the party for some reason. When he saw me, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Aren't you the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What made you stay back? Why did you stay back? May Allah have mercy on you. Then he brought his camel and stayed away from me and told me, you get on the camel, you ride. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha says, I did not say anything to him. I did not speak to him at all. I mounted the camel and he led it walking fast. We travelled until the morning. They travelled for the rest of the night. The people had not missed me until then, and in the morning they were setting up camp when Safwan came in leading me on the camel. So those who spread the rumour, they started talking and the men were greatly perturbed, but I knew nothing about this. So people started spreading rumours about Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, about being alone with Safwan radiyallahu anhu. Then we reached Medina, and Sayyidah Aisha says, we reached Medina and I felt seriously sick and heard nothing of what was going on. The talk reached Rasulullah and my parents, but they told me nothing about it. All I noticed was that Rasulullah was not as kind to me as he usually was, especially when I was sick. I pretended not to notice. When he came to see me, he would simply ask my mother, who was nursing me, how is she? He would not even talk to me directly. I noticed this coldness, and so I asked his permission to move in with my mother until I got better, and he agreed. And so I moved in with my parents. I was sick for 3 weeks and knew nothing of the rumors. Then she continued, she said, we were an Arab people and did not have inside our houses those toilets that foreigners have. So in the night, the women would go out and use the open areas of Medina to relieve themselves. One night, I was out with Mustah, the daughter of Abu Rum al-Muttalib. She was walking with me when she tripped over her gown and she swore and she said, perish Mustah. So I said to her, that's a terrible thing to say about a Muhajir and one who attended Badr. So she said, has the news not reached you, my daughter of Abu Bakr? I asked her, what news? And she then told me the calumny, which was the false rumor that they were spreading about me. I swear that I was so upset that I immediately turned around and went home and cried so much that I thought I would burst my liver. I told my mother, may Allah forgive you for not telling me anything about what the people have been saying about me. She said, my mother said, don't take it seriously. Rarely does a beautiful woman who is loved by her husband not have co-wives and others speak badly about her. Rasulullah stood and addressed the people about this, but I knew nothing about it. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then he said, why is it that people are giving me concerns about my family and speaking lies about them? I swear by Allah, I know nothing but good of them. And they are saying the same things about a man, which is Safwan, about whom I have known nothing but good. He has never entered any of my dwellings without me being in his company. The greatest blame for this lay with Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul and some of the Khazraj and Musta bin Asasa and Hamna bin Jahash, the sister of Zainab bin Jahash, the wife of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and a co-wife of Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha. Zainab was the only one of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sayyida Aisha says, Zainab was the only one of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's wives who could rival my status, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected her through her religion and she only spoke good of me. Now, one of the things to notice in this whole thing is how Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha is so composed and she is so clear about not blaming and not casting any aspersions on anybody. Then when she says, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this address, when he made this khutbah, Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, who was there, he said, Ya Rasulullah, if it was the Aus doing this, we would have dealt with them for you. If they are from our Khazraj brethren, give us your order, and by Allah, they deserve to have their heads cut off for this. Then Sa'd bin Ubadah, he rose, and he was previously known to be a good man. He said, you lie by Allah. You would not cut off their heads. You are only making that statement because you know they are from Khazraj. If they were from your own tribe, you would never make that statement. Usay said, it is you who lie. I swear by Allah that you are a hypocrite arguing on behalf of the hypocrites. And so on and so forth. And it became almost a fight between the Aus and the Khazraj inside the masjid. And that is why this was tribalism, nationalism, chauvinism, which is such a terrible, terrible evil, and it is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all Muslims brothers and sisters of one another, and to consider yourself to be superior to another Muslim on the basis of your lineage or your tribe and so on is haram in Islam. It is prohibited and it's a major sin. Then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood down. He settled this whole problem. And Sayyid Aisha said he came inside to see me. He called Ali bin Abi Talib and Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, and he consulted them. He asked them, what shall I do? Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu spoke good about me. Sayyid Aisha speaking, she said, Usama bin Zayd spoke good about me and said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is about your family about whom we know nothing but good. This is all foolish lies. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, there are plenty of women. You can exchange them. Ask the slave girl. She will speak the truth to you. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called for Buhaira radiallahu anha, and who was the slave of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Ali radiallahu anhu went and he slapped her and he said, speak the truth to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Buhaira radiallahu anha, she started weeping and she said, I swear I know nothing but good about Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, except that when I tell her to watch over the dough, which is, you know, making bread, she sometimes falls asleep and the pet lamb comes and eats it, meaning that she is innocent and young. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa says, radiallahu anha, then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to me and he sat down. I had both my parents with me and an Ansari woman. I was weeping and so was she. He praised Allah and said, O Aisha, you have been informed of what people have been saying about you. So have taqwa of Allah, fear Allah. If you have indeed done wrong as they say, then repent to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts repentance from his slaves. As soon as he said this, Sayyidah Aisha says, my tears dried up so that I could feel nothing of them. I waited for my parents to speak on my behalf, but they said nothing. I swear I felt myself too humble for Allah to send an ayah of the Quran about me, one that would be recited for prayer, for salah. But I hoped that the Messenger would have a vision to confirm my innocence. When I saw that my parents were not saying anything, I asked them, I said, will you not reply to Rasulullah? And they said, by Allah, we don't know what to say. We don't know what to reply. I swear I don't know any household that suffered as much as the household of Abu Bakr when they were unable to respond for me. I burst out crying. Then I said, I will never repent to Allah for what you say, because if I did, I would be affirming something that I did not do. And if I denied it, you would not believe me. This also shows Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, her amazing character. Here was this young girl, but she had enough courage to stand up to the Rasul of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this also shows that he was not alimul ghaib. He did not know something which was hidden. He didn't know that his own wife was innocent until Allah told him, until Allah revealed Quran, right? So people who think that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew ilm of the ghaib, here is a clear incident where he didn't know. And he believed the rumors which were floating around, definitely had some doubt in his mind. That's why he told her, if you have done something, repent and so on and so on. Right? But she didn't give in to that. And secondly, see her clarity of mind, see her intelligence, see her reasoning. She says clearly, she says, if I repent to Allah, then it means I am guilty. But I am not guilty, so I will not repent to Allah. What is there to repent? I have not done anything wrong. So what is there to repent? Alhamdulillah, subhanAllah, such a absolutely amazing person she was. And she said, if I say I didn't do anything, you are not believing me anyway. So what do I do? She says, then I tried to remember the name of Yaqub alayhi salam, but I could not remember it. So I said, I will speak as did the father of Yusuf. And I swear, Yaqub alayhi salam said, innama ashku bathi wa huzuni ila Allah. He said, my tears and my grief is only for Allah to know and Allah to see. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not left his seat before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent on him what he used to send, which is wahi. She says he was wrapped in his cloak and a pillow of leather stuffed with date leaves was under his head. I swear I felt no alarm or concern as I knew that I was innocent. I knew that I was innocent and I knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not harm me and would not allow harm to happen to me. But I swear that I felt my parents would die from fear that confirmation of people, of what people were saying would come from Allah. When Rasulullah ﷺ recovered, he sat up. His face was streaming with sweat, even though it was a winter's day. He wiped the sweat and he said, rejoice, Aisha, Allah has sent confirmation of your innocence. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said, Alhamdulillah. He then went out and recited the ayat to the people, confirming the innocence of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha and prescribing punishment for those who malign the reputation of good women. Then Hamna Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, who was the great poet, and Musta bin Asasa were given the flogging that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed, as they were the most outspoken in spreading the calumny. Aisha Siddiq Radhiyallahu Anha was a woman of great spirit, subhanAllah. Abu Bakr Siddiq Radhiyallahu Anha, when these ayat were revealed, he said to her, her parents, they said to her, thank Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She said, I will not thank him. He said, I will not thank him, I thank Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who cleared my name. So, you know, imagine this is the kind of, she was such a wonderful person and so powerful, alhamdulillah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat of Surah An-Nur. We will of course continue with this in the next episode as well, because it is a very important element. And so for now, I'll just recite these ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَا اكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء فإذ لم يأتوا بالشهداء فأولئك عند الله هم الكاذبون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته في الدنيا والآخرة لمسكم فيما أفضتم فيه عذاب عظيم إذ تلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبونه حينا وهو عند الله عظيم ولولا إذ سمعتموه قلتم ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم يعظكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين ويبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله رؤوف رحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان ومن يتبع خطوات الشيطان فإنه يأمر بالفحشاء والمنكر ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا ولكن الله يزكي من يشاء والله سميع عليم ولا يأتل أولو الفضل منكم والسعة أن يؤتوا أولي القربى والمساكين والمهاجرين في سبيل الله وليعفوا وليصفحوا ولا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم والله غفور رحيم إن الذين يرمون المحصنات الغافلات المؤمنات لعنوا في الدنيا والآخرة ولهم عذاب عظيم يوم تشهد عليهم ألسنتهم وأيديهم وأرجلهم بما كانوا يعملون يومئذ يوفيهم الله دينهم الحق ويعلمون أن الله هو الحق المبين Imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed so much Quran about this one incident, about this one lady. This alone is sufficient for us to show the true maqam, the true position of Sayyidatina, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, our mother. Truly she was blessed, truly she was a magnificent lady, and truly we should be proud that she is our mother as a wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Surah An-Nur, starting from ayah number 11, Allah said, "Verily those who brought forth the slander against Aisha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are a group among you. Consider it not a bad thing for you, nay it is a good thing for you, until every man among them will be paid that which he had earned of the sin, and as for him among them who had the greater share therein, he will have a greater torment." Why then did not the believers, men and women, when you heard it, the slander, think good of their own people and say, "This charge is an obvious lie"? Now think about this. We always want to believe negative things more than positive things. Allah is saying, when you heard this, why didn't you say it was a lie? Why did they not produce four witnesses, since they, the slanderers, have not produced any witnesses? Then with Allah, they are liars. Meaning, if you make an accusation, you do not have four eyewitnesses, you are a liar. Allah then said, "Had it not been for the grace of Allah and His mercy unto you in this world and in the hereafter, a great torment would have touched you for that whereof you had spoken. When you were propagating it with your tongues and uttering it with your mouths, that whereof you had no knowledge, you counted it a little thing, while with Allah it was a very great thing. And why did you not, when you heard it, say, 'It is not right for us to speak of this. Glory be to you, O Allah. This is a great lie.' Allah forbids you from it and warns you not to repeat the like of it forever, if you are believers." A direct command. And Allah makes the ayat, His revelation, plain to you. Ayat is evidence. It is proof, it is the revelation, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, Allah makes His ayat, which is evidence and signs, clear to you. And Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. Then Allah said, "Verily, those who like that the crime of illegal sexual intercourse should be propagated among those who believe, they will have a painful torment in this world and in the hereafter. And Allah knows and you do not know. And had it not been for the grace of Allah and His mercy on you, Allah would have hastened the punishment upon you. And that Allah is full of kindness, most merciful. O you who believe, follow not the footsteps of shaitan. And whoever follows the footsteps of shaitan, verily, he commands al-fahsha. Shaitan commands you to do all kinds of shameless things. Then verily, this is what he will tell you to do, all kinds of shameless things. And al-munkar, which is disbelief and polytheism. And had it not been for the grace of Allah and His mercy on you, not one of you, would have ever been pure from sins. But Allah purifies and guides to Islam whom He wills, and Allah is all hearer and all knower. And let not those among you who are blessed with graces and wealth swear not to give any sort of help to their kinsmen, the masakeen, the poor people, and those who left their homes for Allah's cause. Let them pardon them and forgive them. Do you not love that Allah should forgive you? And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Verily, those who accuse chaste women would never even think of anything touching their women who are so good that they would never even think of anything touching their chastity and are good believers. Such people who accuse such women are cursed in this life and the hereafter, and for them will be a great torment. on the day when their tongues and their hands and their legs or feet will bear witness against them as to what they used to do. On that day, Allah will pay them the recompense of their deeds in full, and they will know that Allah, He is the manifest truth. Inshallah, as I promised, more next time. For now, read these ayat and reflect on them. These are the ayat from ayah number 11 to ayah number 25 in Surah An-Nur. Amazing, subhanAllah, story, amazing people. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to learn from these stories and to correct ourselves before it is too late. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ رَبَّنَا.